So I'm excited today to be here today and to start this teaching, this series called Israel is Real. Everybody say Israel is Real. Of course, if you are not familiar with me, you can call me Alpheus, or you can call me Alpheus. Amen. I'm glad to be a part of this teaching team here today. And it seems like the teaching team is here today and in big numbers. So I got some teachers that got my back today. Amen. Good to see you guys. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this beautiful, 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 gorgeous, gorgeous day, this wonderful day that you have made. We always honor you as the creator of a day like today. You are the creator. You are sovereign. You are powerful. You are all-knowing. We honor you this morning. We appreciate you. We thank you for your son, Jesus. We thank you for every word of worship. We thank you for what you're going to say to us today through this teaching. In Jesus' name, we do pray. This food that we're going to receive, not now, let it be used for the nourishment and the strength of our bodies. In Jesus' name, amen. So we don't need to pray. I know y'all smell what I smell. Do you smell what I smell? Do you smell what I smell? It's not Christmas time yet. So no need to pray after this worship service. Amen. We can go right downstairs. Somebody's frying fish. I can tell. Amen. We're going to talk about a little fish today. Oh, somebody's frying chicken. Okay. Okay. Maybe I'm wrong. And so my wife and I, we went to almost a week from today. We returned from Israel. And so that's why the title of this series, if we may, it's called Israel is Real. You see how I pretty much word scramble? Anybody like to play word scramble? I just kind of just start rearranging some stuff. And Israel is real. Israel is real. Amen. There's any given time at my house, you will see my TV on HGTV, Hallmark, the Food Network, or sometimes, occasionally, if it's on the National Geographic Channel, I'll get arrested there. Just looking at what God created, looking at the apes, looking at the fish, looking at the bears. By the way, we didn't come from apes. Amen. I just want to say that. Amen. I don't care what they teach you in elementary school. If you're listening, if you're watching on the playback, we did not come from apes. Amen. And so sometimes yesterday, actually, I got arrested on this channel, and it's called the History Channel. Anybody heard of the History Channel? Oh, but of course. And so this is a show that was out, that's out, called The Proof is Out There. Everybody say that with me. The Proof is Out There. Brother Lawrence, if you can get some strings ready real quick, I want you to play a low C. The Proof is Out There. You got a mic? Can you test it? Can you give me a test? Because we're going to work in tandem today.
Test.
Can you read that? Because this font is too little on my iPad. Is this blurry to y'all? Oh, okay. I thought it was just me. I'm like, bro, I just turned 41.
The Proof is Out There.
The name of the show is The Proof is Out There. Give me a little bit more strings. I'm going to give you guys a little suspense today. As I'm talking about Israel is real. Israel is real. Say that with me. If you're tired today, if you're tired, if you're hungry, if you're frustrated, it doesn't change the truth that I'm going to present today. The success of what I'm going to talk about today has nothing to do with how you feel. Now, I'm not going to ignore that. If you're tired, I got to make sure that you are engaged. Amen. If you're hungry, Field Meal got you if you're hungry. Amen. But y'all please stay engaged, because this is going to be a little different today, as you can already tell. The Proof is Out There on the History Channel is a show that talks about sweets.
The Proof is Out There investigates the world's most mysterious videos, photos, and audio recordings, and uses the best technology.
What kind of technology? The best. Keep reading.
And experts to render a credible verdict. Each episode analyzes and passes verdicts on several seemingly impossible things caught on film, including giant beasts, UFOs, apocalyptic sounds, hairy humans.
What kind of humans?
Alleged mutants from the deep, conspiracies, and many other cases.
Clap your hands for our cinematic score today. Thank you very much. And so the proof is out there. Of course, this doesn't look like the History Channel logo, but the proof is out there. So the Bible is like a History Channel. Amen? It's a history book of facts. Amen? Everybody say the proof. It's out there. Luke 8:17 says, read it with me. Ready, set, go. For there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out to the open. Very interesting passage here. Don't normally like to just read isolated passages, but everybody say the proof is out there. So perhaps what has been hidden for years is being revealed and will continue to be revealed. So Lex and I, my wife, if you don't know, my wife, my beautiful wife of 16 years, she said, amen. She was quick on it. 16 years, what's today's, 16 years, 10 months, and what's today's date? 2 days, that's how long we've been married, all right? I thought the women were gonna clap, at least. Sarah, I thought, you know, I'm keeping. And so we traveled to Israel, all right? And so I've been polling individuals, and I've been asking, what's up with Israel? What's so special about Israel? Have you ever wondered? You don't want to be in a relationship where the other half of the relationship is either fake, don't really love you like they say they do, or just, I want to go back to fake. Would you want to be in a relationship that you know is fake, that you know is not real? And so many of us, including me, we are searching for answers. Amen. We are professing to be believers, but I'm one of those guys. I like what's the show, the movie? I like the, I was one of those guys. I didn't want to be an archaeologist or but I was fascinated with all of that. I was fascinated with I like Jurassic Park. I like National Treasure. I was in heaven in Israel. I'm looking around traveling. We're walking around traveling with this archaeologist. He's taking us under the city, under the city. He was taking us in between cracks. I'm like, bruh, do we need to sign a release form? Because he had the authority. This gentleman also discovered in around 2004, this archaeologist, he discovered the Pool of Siloam. He gets the credit for that. That put him on the map. Amen. And half of the Pool of Siloam, if you don't know what it is, just read your Bible, Sunday school. I can't do everything today. The Pool of Siloam, half of it is covered because half of it is actually owned by a church. And so they obviously can't. Imagine somebody going to your property and discovering something or the property right next to yours and discovering something and say, you know what, can I dig up some of your land? What you going to say? You're going to say no. But what if you knew that there was gold on your land? You say, I don't need you to dig. I'm going to do my own digging. What's up with Israel? The proof is out there. Israel is about the size of New Jersey, by the way. All right. Israel is about the size of New Jersey. And so the terrain, the typography is definitely not like New Jersey, in my opinion. Me and Sweets, my wife, Alexis, if I call her Danielle, Sweets, Medushi, I'm not cheating on my wife, Clemson students. That's the same person. I have different names for her. Amen? And so we did not walk where Jesus walked, Josh. We ran where Jesus walked. Our tour guide had us run. I mean, like, can we slow down? He was trying to give us our money's worth. We didn't run. We didn't walk where Jesus walked. We ran. We ran where Jesus walked. So some of what I'm going to share is a little hairy, so I had to write it down. But Israel is ground zero. Everybody say ground zero. It's ground zero. And you know what ground zero, kind of like what state did the Twin Towers tragedy happen in? In New York. Where was Martin Luther King Jr. born? Georgia. Good class. Atlanta, Georgia. That's ground zero. What city did Martin Luther King get assassinated in? Good class. Clap for you. Yeah, yeah. There's free food for you afterwards for getting that right. Israel is ground zero, if you didn't know, for Jesus' birth. I heard, So in other words, okay, that may make sense. Maybe God made flesh through a virgin birth. It's what we believe as Christians. Amen. First of all, that sounds very miraculous and it sounds far-fetched. It sounds like, is that even possible? Something out of nothing. That's a question, but I have issues with that question. This is the place, Israel is a place where Jesus walked. He literally walked. Amen. He walked. It is also ground zero for ministry that included documented miracles, signs, and wonders. Documented miracles, signs, and wonders. Like people being raised from the dead. Amen. Now, raise your hand if you, in 2022, you've witnessed somebody being raised from the dead. Yeah, me either. I can't raise my hand. If you witness somebody's arm being reassembled, if it was broke, or if they didn't have hands, have y'all witnessed a miracle like that? It seems like in a day like today, we're not witnessing miracles that we read about in the Bible days. I could be wrong, but I know in Fairfax, South Carolina, where I'm from, I've never seen anybody been raised from the dead. Have you? But do you still believe in miracles? Interesting, very interesting. Emphatically, you say, I still believe in miracles. Are miracles still happening? Yes. Amen. Some of you say, I am a miracle. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. I agree. And perhaps if miracles like individuals being raised from the dead was so common, would it be a miracle? Perhaps that if miracles like that were so common, we would take them for granted. May say, Ashley, my aunt was raised from the dead last week. And you say, you know what? My uncle was raised from the dead last week, too. And it's like less of an appreciation from that. And you saying, I'm kind of sad because he left me a lot of money. Now I got to give it back. Because God raised him from the dead. Israel is ground zero for something very tragic. Jesus, our Messiah, was betrayed. He was betrayed. He was beaten. He was murdered. He was crucified. And he was resurrected in this location. All right. Amen. This is Israel. How many wants to travel to Israel one day? Amen. How many, anybody other than us, you travel to Israel? Okay. All right. So you want to go. It's ground zero. So ground zero places are always respected and triggers, in my opinion, it triggers gratefulness. It triggers testimony. It triggers memories. There's a song that I know Ms. Vader would know it. Take me back. Take me back, dear Lord, to a place where I first received him. Take me back, dear Lord, where I first believed. Maybe I'm rewriting the song. Like, why you think we have homecomings at Clemson or Anderson University or whatever college you... It's not about necessarily the physical place. It's about the memories. It's about God is, listen, I stayed in school 8 years, so I'm never going back to Anderson University. Because every ground zero is not a place of hunky-dory. And so I ain't going back to Anderson University. I may just Google and see how they're doing, but I ain't going back there because that ground zero for me, now my wedding date, take me back all day long. I thought y'all was gonna say, oh. Take me back. So I wanna go back to the church. Actually, the church where I got married is a different church. It's still there, but it's renamed. Why do you think we go back to grandma's house? even though grandma is not there. We go back to a house where we've never met a person and reap the benefits of their blood and sacrifice, the cooking and the memories that they left, the spirit of love, the spirit of grandma. Y'all know the spirit of grandma, right? It's just like the spirit of just wanting everybody to get together. It's ground zero. Church. Church. Many go back to your home church. Amen. So this is ground zero. By the way, these are pictures that we snapped with our own phone. These are not from Google. These, obviously, you see me, all right? And I didn't get kicked out of Israel wearing my hat backwards the entire time. But I almost got kicked out of one particular place when we were eating chicken. Y'all just asked me, how did you almost get kicked out of this particular place? It is an interesting story.
I thought we were going to have to go to the U.S. Embassy.
Say it again.
I thought we were going to have to go to the embassy. I thought we were going to get kicked out of Israel. Y'all pray for Alpheus, please.
My heart was pure, but the interpretation, it was misinterpreted. Amen. When in Rome. So I have to tell you about that. And next week, if you come back next week, I can tell you why I'm tired of pita bread and why I've eaten the best pizza in my life in Israel. All right. And so Israel is the ground zero for, again, like miracles that happened at the Pool of Siloam. Amen. Jesus talked a lot in Israel. He taught. Things that we are following to this day happen on ground. You saying, duh. It happened at a physical place. And I've seen with my own eyes. I've been to the mountaintop. Do I look like it? All right. So how would you feel if the ground that or the seat that you're sitting on, the iPhone that you're holding, was also held by Jesus or touched by Jesus? The seat. The clothes, or you touch something that Jesus touched, the physical Jesus. Now, we're talking about over 2,000 years ago. Everybody say the proof is out there. Everybody say the proof is out there. How would you feel? Just think about that. The ball is in your court. Think about it. How would you feel if you knew the chair that you're sitting in, our Messiah also sat in that chair? Now, obviously, we don't worship the chair, amen, but it triggers a memory. It triggers something in you that what we believe is not fake, what we are part of is not fake. It really happened, amen? It really, really happened, amen? And so you're saying Jesus did not sit in the chair that I'm sitting in, but Jesus lives in the heart of the person that you're asking to think about the chair that Jesus possibly would have sat in. Does that make sense? In other words, I keep going back to these old songs for some reason. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. That's just as good as being on ground zero. Jesus, Jesus walking with you every single day? And you know, you don't see him on your street, but you see him walking in your heart because you restrained yourself and you didn't cuss him out when you could have cussed him out. And only Jesus could. Amen. Your professor, you wanted to say something. You wanted to pop off, but you did not. Because and he walks with me. Amen. Yeah. So. You're not walking with Jesus. Jesus is walking on your heart, on the tablets of your heart. That's why we got to read his word. Amen. Amen. So some more show and tell. So I'm going to go in and out of show and tell today, like a school project, and I'll be almost finished. So this is something interesting. Our archaeologists suggested that Jesus was put in a manger. We're like, duh. But he was put in a manger like this. Is this manger made of wood? Very interesting. Luke 2:7. And she gave birth. I'm not really going to get in the weeds of if it was a wooden manger or if it was an ancient stone trough. But what I do know, this is very interesting, that could a baby fit in this? Amen. This is an ancient stone trough. And then when you travel back in time, so I'm from Fafar, South Carolina, and it's hard for me to think outside of Fafar, South Carolina. Amen. We say, what's up? How you doing? Where we were, often they would say, what, Medushi? They would say shalom or
Manishma.
Say what?
Manishma.
Bless you. Sound like you sneezed. Man, I can't replay this. I don't want to offend nobody again. Don't post this. What is Manishma?
What's up? How you doing?
What's up? See what I'm saying? So let me tell you what's the same in every language, guys. Y'all all right? This is the same in every language. Not hallelujah. Some people say hallelujah is the same in every language. The reason why it's not the same in every language is because it's what, Josh? Hallelujah is what?
Hebrew.
It's Hebrew. Maybe understood in every language as hallelujah. But this is the same in every language. Y'all ready for it? Because this was also the second strike that I received in Israel. I was in the synagogue or wherever we were, and obviously I didn't read the sign. And the same in every language is shh. Shh. Guys, we crossed over the Jordan River on a bus, but we crossed over Jordan River. Matthew 3 says, then Jesus came from Galilee. Read this with me. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. This is Lex's picture. I know it's a little dark, but this is a picture that she took of the Jordan River. And verse 14, but John tried to deter him, saying, Jesus, I need to baptize you, Jesus. And do you come to me? Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. So we were also, I'm gonna speed this up because I got a lot of pictures here. Y'all want to see more pictures? Oh, amen. Thank y'all for being interested. So this is the Sea of Galilee, which is where we stayed. We took this picture. These are some mountains. Actually, there's a mountain over here, guys. I just want to sound intelligent. I don't know what that mountain is. This is the Sea of Galilee, and this is ground zero for miracles, signs, and wonders. Jesus taught around Lake Hartwell, the Sea of Galilee. But imagine, we can see Lake Hartwell. Just imagine Jesus walking around the coast of Lake Hartwell. Imagine Jesus going to Peter's house on Lake Hartwell. Peter in the Bible, Peter had a lake house. He did. I saw it. He had a lake house. The Sea of Galilee was right there, basically where the parking lot is. Peter's house was right here. The Sea of Galilee was fed by the Jordan River. It's about 600 and something feet below sea level. Below sea level. The Sermon of the Beatitudes was on the shore. Was not too far from the Sea of Galilee, like right up from Lake Hartwell. Imagine going up, you're on the Sea of Galilee, and Jesus is teaching. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the that hunger and thirst after righteousness. So Jesus is teaching around this particular body of water, which is far from what I know is an ocean. It's a freshwater sea. It's like Lake Hartwell, but it's not like Lake Hartwell. Amen. But it's not a saltwater body of water. Amen. This sea is called the Sea of Galilee for whatever reason. Imagine an Uber boat taking the revivalist Jesus around to teach on Lake Hartwell or the Sea of Galilee. So Jesus, he didn't have Uber. He would ride a boat from one side to the other. On this same sea that exists today. Everybody say the proof is out there. What we read in the Bible is still there. It wasn't in another dimension, it is still here. Amen? Amen? Amen. You saying, bro, you have seen it. I can see it in your eyes. And so preaching and teaching in a synagogue not too far from this sea. And it's definitely possible. Imagine walking from one side of the campus to the other side of the campus. So imagine Jesus walking from one place to another place and conducting business and teaching. I'm trying to give you some real life. This Jesus was, he was divine and he was human. So Jesus walked. Amen. He did walk. Jesus slept. Jesus wept. And he raised people from the dead at the same time. Amen. What a powerful man. Jesus recruited four of his disciples on this exact sea. Peter, Andrew, James, and John. He calmed the same, on the same sea, he calmed the storm. You can write down Mark 4, verse 35. Sweets, can you talk about the story where, so there's a mountain here where it is possible that while we were on the Sea of Galilee, we are on the Sea of Galilee on this boat. It was so calm, it was hard for me to believe that a storm would happen and Jesus could calm a storm on the sea because it wasn't an ocean, it was a lake. It would be hard for me to imagine that like a storm would be so violent on Lake Hartwell that it would cause a boat to threaten, the waves would threaten a boat to tip over and cause me to be nervous. Have you guys ever been on Lake Hartwell? Have you ever experienced 15-foot waves? Like, where would it even come from on Lake Hartwell? I remember taking kayak for sure, but not a boat. I took you on a little date one time before you were my wife. Remember that? Can you talk about how it's possible for 15-foot waves to actually make a lake, the Sea of Galilee, actually... All right.
This is probably a better picture. They said that winds, so this cliff right here on the left is the cliff of Arbel. And they said that winds could come off of the cliff of Arbel and then across the lake or across the Sea of Galilee, there's another mountain range called the Golan Heights. And so what happens is the wind comes off of this cliff and then bounces off of the Golan Heights.
I'm the Sea of Galilee in the middle. You got winds coming off of Mount Arbel. All right. You keep going.
And then it hits the Golan Heights on the opposite side and gets trapped on the Sea of Galilee. And our tour guide was like, the reason why we know that happened when Jesus was here, because it still happens today. And so that's why they fish at night and they don't fish during the day.
So when we read in God's word that there was some fishing that went on the night before, there was actually a reason for that. I didn't know that. Amen. And so how fitting would it be to be in a sea where Jesus was known for fishing? How fitting would it be to actually eat fried fish? And all of God's people said, amen. That fish was terrible. No, when you go to Israel, bring your hot sauce. Amen. One of the most, something I will never forget is I've been baptized before and absent when I didn't know Lex, she's been baptized before. Actually, we knew each other when you were baptized, when you got baptized, but we were baptized, something I will never forget. I know it's a little dark here on the screen, but we were baptized at the same time in tandem in the Sea of Galilee. In other words, an outward profession of inward change together. Amen? Amen? Amen. Y'all gotta do that. It wasn't the Jordan River, but it was the closest we could do. We probably would have got baptized in our swimming pool at the hotel. Amen. So 80 miles, I'm almost finished. I'm gonna end on this because I have 2 weeks of this. Are y'all finding this interesting, encouraging, and saying I've not been to Israel? I see that you've been. I know you. You profess to be a Christian and your faith is a little bit stronger. My faith is stronger, guys. Not saying I had doubts, but I'm a proof guy. Jesus, you real? Is that really possible? Amen. So 80 miles from the Sea of Galilee on bus, ain't fair. But Jesus said, greater works will you do? We on the bus. Y'all get that when you get home. 80 miles from Galilee is Jerusalem. Roughly 80 miles is Jerusalem. And these are some pictures of Jerusalem at night. And this is actually the Kidron Valley. Don't go to sleep on me, guys. Y'all okay? The Kidron Valley is an actual valley. It's like I am in the valley right now. And so here, I'm obviously on a mountain. Here, this is a valley. All right? And you can see this particular valley. It's very pronounced when you go to Jerusalem. It is, in the ancient days, it was deeper. It was a deeper valley than what we see now today with our own eyes. At least that's what I'm told. Also near this, it's called the what kind of valley? The Kidron Valley, all right? This is, it also was called, I forgot the Valley of
Jehoshaphat.
Thank you, Jehoshaphat, all right? And so Mount of Olives, Acts 1 is a scripture reference, is right above this valley in this particular part of this valley. The Mount of Olives is so important because
that's where Jesus ascended and it's where he's coming back, according to Acts.
According to Acts, it's where Jesus ascended to heaven, all right, in this particular place, all right? And so many archaeologists and tour guides, when you go to Israel, will be careful and say, this is the vicinity, you know, this is the area. But in my opinion, much can be basically, it's boom. Like you can take the details in the Bible and actually almost feels like you just place it over New Jersey, I mean Israel, and see it fitting like a puzzle, which is just very interesting to me, all right? So the Kidron Valley is, this is what I'll end on. I'll end a little bit early. The Kidron Valley is actually a place where the blood of the lamb slain for Passover was drained into this valley, all right? It is likely that this was a blood-stained place. This, where I am now, is this valley. It was likely a bloody place because of the sacrifices. And if you have over 200,000 people sacrificing animals, where's the blood going? Water flows up or it flows down? It flows down. Amen. And the lowest place in this area is this valley. And so there was actually said to be a channel that would take the sacrifice that would channel the blood of the thousands and thousands of sacrifice in this place. I just want to point out what I'm really trying to point out. This was a bloody place. You want to see me faint in less than 2 seconds? Have a pool of blood right there in front of me. Luke 22:44 says, read it with me. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And this happened in the Garden of Gethsemane, which is really right in this valley. So perhaps this Kidron Valley is a place of agony. It's a place of sorrow. It's a place of disappointment. Anybody ever been disappointed? Anybody ever, I know many of us have been here. You ever received that phone call and you had to go to the hospital? And going to the hospital, it was like, I feel like they called us in because they are expecting the worst. Do y'all know how that agony feels? You on your way to look death in the face. The Garden of Gethsemane feels like that. In this valley. The Kidron Valley is also a place where Idols were burned. Graves exist to this day in this valley. So it's a place, it's a dead place. It represents death. You're looking down at death. 2 Kings, I'll skip that scripture for now. We'll put these slides on the website. 2 Kings 23, verse 6. And he brought out the Asherah from the house of the Lord outside Jerusalem. By the way, this was a king, guys. Everybody say, this king was a good guy. And he wanted to do what was right in the eyes of the Lord. All right, so you got this good person, you got this good king trying to basically repair, restore, and so in a physical way, he wanted to like basically anything that was not like God, he wanted to take it from one place to another place. Anybody, that's your testimony, you want anything inside of you, you say, God, if this doesn't look like you, I got to deal with it, amen? So I'm trying to set this up in the best way I can in Sunday school fashion. But he basically brought out, y'all read this with me so y'all don't go to sleep. All right? And he brought out the Asherah from the house of the Lord outside Jerusalem to the brook Kidron and burned it and the brook Kidron and beat it to dust and cast the dust of it upon the graves of the common people. So you see how the valley potentially is a dusty place. All right, and so it would signify that I am really finished. Can you guys stand for me? Then I'll wrap it up in 60 seconds. A place of betrayal, Luke 22. Judas betrayed Jesus with a kiss. You talking about ground zero representing a place that doesn't feel good. Like, there's certain hospitals that I don't want to go to because one in Spartanburg, because my twin brother, I held his hand and watched breath leave his body. You think I want to go to that place? It's just like, I don't want to go anywhere near it. So you avoid driving there. There's some people that you have dated and you know they lived over there. They was at this dorm and you don't want to fool it with you. And so you avoid going that way. And there's some places that you're trying to avoid to this day because you know there's nonsense there. Am I by myself? Oh, okay. But what I like about Christ, what I think about the Messiah, what I love about Jesus, he is not intimidated. He doesn't avoid dirt, sin, dust. He doesn't avoid death. It seems like the Bible says, let me make it plain. It says in John 18, verse 1. Y'all read this with me. So we have this valley that is a physical place. These are our pictures. So y'all see this valley. You can probably see some graves. And if I was an archaeologist and I would excavate the dirt, I probably would find human remains. I probably would, if I carbon date, I probably would find something that looks like or that resembles DNA, blood. But what I love about Christ is he is not intimidated by the valley. He is not intimidated by our idiosyncrasies. He is not intimidated by our shortcomings. Amen. I done jacked some things up in my days. Am I by myself? And he seems to always be there when I need him. Amen? He's always there. John 18 says, read this with me, guys. Ready, set, go. After saying these things, Jesus crossed the Kidron Valley. Wait, let's just stop right there. Let's read that five more times. After saying these things, Jesus what?
Crossed.
He did what? He did what? He did what? So in the flesh, Jesus is crossing, he is passing over what many of us is trying to avoid. The Bible says he crossed the Kidron Valley. He went straight down. He stepped right over it. He stepped right on it. On his way to the cross, he had to cross the Kidron Valley to be crucified. On the cross. So it's interesting that the Bible says he crossed the Kidron Valley. He crossed the Kidron Valley. He crossed the Kidron Valley. Let me get on the hill. I said Jesus crossed the Kidron Valley. Y'all clap your hands for Jesus crossing. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It's a little bit different now, right? I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Lord, we ask you to clear up anything that we presented that was not clear, that was a little hairy. We thank you for your spirit that would teach way better than Alpheus Bartholomew Anderson. We thank you for clarifying. We thank you for encouraging. We thank you for motivating us to study, to dig in your word a little bit more, to thank you for resources like Google Earth. We thank you for Google Maps. We thank you for Google. We can visit a place where you really walked, you were born, you lived, you performed miracles, signs and wonders. You ascended to a place. You're coming back for us. We trust you, Jesus. We believe in you. Even right now, if somebody in this room, you've struggled with being a 100% Christian because of whatever, and you want to rededicate, you want to accept Christ, this is perhaps a great time for you. It's a great time for you guys. If it's one, if it's two, if it's three, ABC, acknowledge, believe, and confess. I've shown you some proof today. I've shown you some proof. I pray that it's enough to tilt your heart just a little bit towards this side. If the proof today that we've shown is just enough to cause you to accept him, praise the Lord. And if you want to accept Christ in your heart with this proof in mind, now you believe, you want to confess, you want to acknowledge, can you just kind of throw your hands up real quick and say, yep, I want to accept Jesus this morning. Can you just wave your hand? Awesome. Thank you, Jesus. Guys, our eyes are closed. There was one hand that was waved. Can you clap your hands for that one hand? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.